Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. Today we will listen to a message by Pastor James Richards recorded at the Hillview Baptist Church in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where he served as senior pastor for 12 years. He also served for 7 years as the president of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. Pastor Richards now ministers at the Mountain Stream Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, USA. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
It's been a blessing just to worship God with you this morning, and we're trusting that God will continue to speak to you out of His Word. You know, I remember years ago when I was a student at Fairview, and I would travel down to school by bus. I'd take one of the minibuses to go down to school. And one of the things that always happened was that, you know, depending on when you're going down, there could be a big crowd at the bus stop, and everybody was rushing to get onto the bus. And at those times, there were some people who liked to work in those crowds. They weren't really going on the bus, but they would gather with the crowd. And if you were not alert, while you were rushing to get into the bus, and in the hustle and bustle and the push, they were working to get into your pocket. And so you could get on the bus, and after you sat down and you got where you're going, you reach in your pocket, there was no wallet. There are some pickpockets. So you know what I learned? When I was going in the bus, my hand was always in my pocket and my wallet. So that, you know, if anybody going to put their hand in there, my hand and their hands are in there. So I said, what's your hand doing in there? You know, sometimes you come to church, and if the pastor ever announces that he's going to preach on giving, you push your hand in your pocket and hold on to your wallet. Because sometimes we get the feeling that much of the preaching that is done on giving is an effort to twist and wring something out of you. And some of you get a little concerned and a little disturbed if we're going to preach on giving. Let me tell you something this morning. I am going to preach on giving. And as we're at that place in 2 Corinthians where the Bible addresses the issue. And as I looked on it, I said, you know, I set myself an impossible task. Because in these two chapters of 2 Corinthians, there are so many fantastic things about giving that I don't know that I can preach them in one session. But I'm going to try. Okay? I'm going to try to share these lessons with you because these lessons are so phenomenal. Can I tell you something? I am going to be honest with you. I know there are a lot of Christians who struggle with the issue of giving. And sometimes giving can be a painful spiritual practice for some of us. After we finish studying the Word of God this morning, my prayer is that you would recognize that it is a privilege. It is a joy to give to God. Why did God lead the Apostle Paul to write about giving to these Corinthians? Well, let me give you a little background. You will remember that the church of Jesus Christ began in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the church. It was a place where things were happening. And out of Jerusalem, people went out to other areas and they founded other churches. But the church in Jerusalem got into problems. There was a famine in Jerusalem. Things got difficult. The people in Jerusalem were really struggling for a protracted time. And word got to the church at Corinth that the church at Jerusalem was in trouble. And when the Corinthians heard that, they immediately pledged themselves and said, we want to give some money to go and help the church in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul was so excited when he heard. And he started telling everybody, boy, the church at Corinth, they have pledged to give to the church at Jerusalem. They are so enthusiastic. They are setting out to collect some money. But a year passed, and the church at Corinth still hadn't fulfilled their obligation. Sound familiar? Sometimes you have services and people pledge, I will give. And then you wait and nothing happens. And in the meantime, a fantastic thing happened that just stirred up Paul, that Paul had to write these churches at Corinth and remind them of their obligation and also lay before them an example. And in chapter 8, He lays before them a fantastic example. And then he continues now to draw some principles from that example. In chapter 8, the first few verses, he tells them about some other churches in the province of Achaia. And let me read the first five or so verses to you. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And verse 6 says, because of what they did, we felt we had to send Titus to you to help you complete what you wanted to do. Do you understand what's happening here? What Paul is saying about this church? No, let me just tell you very quickly. Paul is saying there was a poor church or some poor churches in the area of Macedonia. These churches were so poor that I never even asked them to contribute. It didn't seem like Paul even asked them. But the Bible said, of their own power, they decided to take up an offering. And get this, they went and begged Paul to accept the offering. Listen, give us a chance to give. Did you hear that? Came knocking on the door of the church at Paul's office. I think Paul had an office wherever I had it. They knocked on the door and said, Paul, as a church, we want to give to this. And when Paul saw their spirit, Paul said, man, I have to let the Corinthians know about it. Now I find this to be an example of radical giving. And what is it that characterizes radical giving? In the first place, radical giving to God gives in spite of difficulty and poverty. Did you notice here in verse 2 that it says, they were in a great, not just a trial of affliction, they were in a great trial of affliction. These people were going through hard times. Things weren't easy for them. They were being persecuted. They were being pressured. Let me ask you, when you and I get persecuted and pressured, who are we thinking about more than anybody else? Well, we start thinking about ourselves. How am I going to get out of this difficulty? How am I going to survive? You know what these people were doing? In their trial, they were saying, some of our brethren are going through difficulties. Can I tell you something, beloved? You may be going through hard times, but you can still give to God. Can I tell you something else? They weren't only going through hard times. The Bible says they were poor. It says, and their deep poverty, not just ordinary poverty. These people experienced very serious poverty. They never had anything. But out of that, the Bible said they had a joy that compelled them to give to God. You know, I have found many people beg off giving to God because we're poor. God, I don't have any money. Can I just tell you that when you are poor, you have the greatest opportunity to give to God? That sounds strange, doesn't it? You know, proportionately, when you are poor, you can give more than a rich man. And I'll tell you why. We're gonna look on it in a little bit. If, you know, there are some of you, and Jesus showed it in the book of Mark. There are some of you who can come in here, and you can put $1,000 on the plate and don't even notice that you put it on the plate. There are some people who come in here, and if they put $100 on the plate, they don't have anything left when they have given. And you know what that says? You might say, but I gave $1,000, and they gave $100. But as far as God has seen it proportionately, they've given more than the person who gave $1,000. You remember that lady, widow woman? Jesus came and sat by the treasury in Jerusalem at the temple, watched as the people were putting in their offerings. And the Bible said, they that had much cast in much. And a lady came with two mites. And I've told you before that when you make the calculation, in Jamaican parlance, two mites is brown money. You know what they call brown money? Those little silver that you and I don't even take from the cashier when we go to the supermarket. If the money is brown, you and I don't want it. Don't anybody? I don't want to show up. I'm just going to ask whether you still take back the brown. Sometimes I take it and go put it in my car, but I don't know what to do with it after a while. It was that kind of money the lady brought. And when she put it in the offering, Jesus called his disciples and said, look, this is amazing. Look at what the lady gave. And I can hear the disciples thinking, yes, Lord, what does she mean if you give that? And Jesus said, she has given more than everybody else here today. Because out of her deep poverty, she has given to God. You know what? You know what I'm sorry about? Some of us who haven't learned yet that even if you have a little, you can split it and give to somebody else. We get to the place and say, I am poor. Everybody should be giving to me. And you have not yet learned that you can still turn around and give. I thank God for some people who don't have much, but out of the little they have, they are willing to give and serve. And sometimes I have seen it. And sometimes when they give, they break my heart that they would be willing to give. But you know what? God turns around and blesses them. Because that's radical giving that says difficulty and poverty will not stop me from giving. Well, the second thing about radical giving is similar to the first, because it says a giving spirit of difficulty and poverty. But listen to this. It says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You know what the Bible is saying? These people gave beyond their means. We always tell you, don't live beyond your means. And that's true. Don't live beyond your means. We know God says you can give beyond your means. What it means is to be prepared to give to God in such a way that it really is genuinely sacrificial, because you are giving. It's not because you have a lot while you are giving. You're saying, God, I love you so much. I'm going to give this gift that is even bigger than I can truly afford. And can I tell you something? It's not just twisting God's hands or trying to twist God's hand to get something else out of him. These people were just saying, we are giving a gift. And when Paul looked on the size of the gift, it was unbelievable. I heard Jim's story tell a story. Touched my heart. About a pastor who one day announced. He said it occurred in the United States during the Great Depression. He announced that he was going to take up an offering at the end of the month for a needy family in the church. And there was one lady there whose husband had died. And she and her children, you know, had things hard. But when they heard that they were going to take up an offering for a needy family, they decided that they were going to make an effort to give. And so, over that month, they scrimped. So many things. And they're at the stage already where they weren't even really having too much meat during the week with what they were eating, because they just couldn't afford it. But they made more and more sacrifices, and they put away some money. By the end of the month, they had managed to save $80. And the lady, there were four of them, the lady and her three children. And so each of them, she got the money changed out and gave each of them a $20 bill in the morning to go give in the offering. And so the time came and the offering was collected, and each member of the family put their money in the offering. Later that week, they received a visit from the pastor. And the pastor came to them and sat, visited with the mother a little bit, and then said, you know, this past Sunday at church, we took an offering for your family because we think you are in need, and gave them the offering. When they opened the envelope, there was $91 in the envelope, four $20 bills and 11 $1 bills. You know, that kind of shook up the family, because they didn't even realize they were poor, that poor. You know, the next Sunday they took that offering back to church and placed it in the offering. You know why? Out of the entire membership, the so-called poorest family that they were going to collect the offering for, they gave the most. Everybody else came and dropped a dollar. Because they got $420 and they took $420 to church and put it in the offering. Isn't it amazing that sometimes when we are judging people that they are poor, if they have the right heart, they can give to God way beyond their means. And the Bible tells us why. And can I jump ahead of myself and tell you why? And I'll repeat it later on. The Bible says, God says, if you are willing to give, he will continue to bless you so you have more to give. It says God is able in chapter 9 to provide everything so that you're going to be satisfied and you can still turn around and give. You and I sometimes need to learn to give beyond our means, because we're giving to God. That's radical giving. Radical giving, I mentioned it, also begs for the opportunity to give. It sees giving as a privilege. You notice in verse 4 it says, they prayed us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. They came to Paul and they said, listen to me, give us a chance to give. We want to give. You know, as a pastor, I would long to see that. I'd be happy to see that. I would rejoice if there were people saying, listen, where is a need? Give us a chance. please, let us give. You know, I find it the other way around. We have to beg people to give. And by God's grace, we're not into begging you to give. We hope that you will beg to give to God. It's a privilege. We can't miss this principle. One of the reasons they were so able to give to God is that according to verse 5, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. You know, until you have given yourself to God first, you really can't give God as you should. There are some of us who don't understand that God is more interested in us as people than he is in our money. And let me tell you this and repeat it for your benefit. God is more interested in you as a person than he's interested in your money. Don't come to church and think you give a big offering and that is primarily what God is interested in. God says, I want you first of all to take of yourself and give to me. Now, let me say this. If you're not saved, you can't truly give to God as you should. The first thing you have to do is to give yourself to the Lord. Beloved, if you're a Christian and you're struggling with your relationship to the Lord, you're not surrendered to the Lord, you can't really give to God as you should. True radical giving starts with the giving of yourself. Releasing yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. And let me tell you something. If God has you, your money is not such a big deal. But there are some of us, unfortunately, who would rather give our money than give ourselves. God wants you. And for some of you, I'd rather see you give yourself than give your money. Because God wants you rather than your money. So real giving is radical because it gives when people don't expect us to give. Can I just tell you something? It's not only radical, but it is spiritual because it understands why people should give. As you get down in chapter 8 and you hurry on through verse 7 down to 15. The Bible begins to show that you have to understand the principles involved in giving. In the first place, in verse 7, the Bible says the whole grace of giving ought to be pursued as you would pursue a spiritual gift. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He's saying in as much as it is good for you to understand the scriptures, in as much as it is good for you to love people, in as much as it is good for you to speak out the word of God. And you remember the Corinthians had a lot of gifts. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the whole gifts became a problem. You know the Bible is saying, in the same way you seek these spiritual things, seek to have a heart that will make you giving. So when was the last time you prayed to the Lord to help you to be a giver? You know, sometimes we talk about spiritual gifts and we pray for all kinds of things and we tarry for all kinds of things. When was the last time you tarried for a heart that would make you generous? You got on your knees before God and said, God, just stir me up. Give me the spiritual ability to give to others, to give to your work. Boy, what a prayer. And you know why you'll pray a prayer like that? When you read verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. The Bible says when you understand your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you understand how much Christ sacrificed for you, when you understand that Christ gave up heaven, gave up glory and became a man and died for you, giving shouldn't be such a big deal. And that spoke to my heart. I think the reason many of us can't give to the Lord is because we haven't really understood what God has done for us yet. And anytime we understand that, we can joyfully, graciously give to the Lord. Because we're giving because he has given us so much. And then when we understand that giving is spiritual, when we make promises, we will. Who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. So here's what he's saying. Don't be a sayer, be a doer. You know the Bible says don't be a hearer only. And some of us are not just hearers, we are talkers. We will always promise to do stuff, but we never get it done. The Bible says do it. And I appreciate what God says now. If you are willing to give, listen to verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You know what God is saying? Don't worry about what you don't have. You know, there are some of you, in your heart, you say, if I were to get some money, if I were to get rich tomorrow, I would give a big offering to the Lord. But if I have a rich relative who dies, I leave me on the will. Pastor, I'm going to give a big offering to the Lord. Right now, you have a little something in your wallet, but you say, I can't give that. You know what God says? I am not concerned with what you don't have. That don't concern me. You don't have it, so don't worry about it. What you are to be concerned about is what you have right here, right now. And listen to me, any one of us can give to God because it's God is concerned about what we have today. That's what, not what you're going to have tomorrow and what you don't have. And so don't make the excuses that, you know, Pastor, I would do X and Y, but I don't have it. Don't make that excuse to God. You give to God out of what you have. Because the Bible says if your heart and mind is willing, then God says it is not according to what you don't have, but what you have. Then let me just say this quickly. Real giving, yes, it is radical. Yes, it is spiritual because you have to understand that you're giving it out of your relationship to the Lord. But then real giving becomes very practical in that guidelines are set up to protect both the giver and those who receive the gift. And you'll have to read through chapter 8, verses 16 and through to chapter 9, verse 5 for yourself. But you know what Paul said? He made sure to set up some guidelines so that the money would be protected. He sent Timothy, and he not only sent Timothy, he sent two other persons with Timothy. He said, you know something? I'm sending some people to you, and I'm sending three of them so that there is going to be some accountability. I'm not sending one person, so he's going to be tempted to take the money when you give it to him. And then he said, I'm sending people who have good reputation. You know them and you trust them. And then he said, you know also why I'm doing it? I don't want anybody to make any kind of false accusation. We want to provide things honest in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Can I say this to you? Every church has the responsibility to be very transparent and very honest about their money, about money that they collect. And by God's grace at this church, no one person handles the church's finances. The monies are collected in the presence of different persons. Checks can't be signed by one person either. And we give regular statements. You remember this church, you come to our business meetings. We tell you what we've collected and how it has been spent. You know why? We want you to be able to know what goes on. And if anybody asks you, you know. You know why? Because anytime people don't know about money, people have a way of making some accusations. And beginning to ask, where did the money go? And listen, this is God's money. And it is God's money, and because of that, we're very careful about it. You know some of the things people have said, don't you? About money that has been given to the Lord. I want to get very personal. But Lord forbid that the pastor drive a car that look half good. Because see the church money there. Have you heard it? Amazing, isn't it? Sometimes the smart people know where the things came from. They would shut them out in shock because God provides. But people have a way. And let me say this to you. Not just for me, but anybody else who comes to this church to pastor. Protect the people who are in leadership. Your pastor shouldn't handle your church's money. And I don't. I don't want it. I don't count the offering. I don't want to know what you give. I don't want the only money I want out of what is given here is what is paid me as a salary. The rest of it, reputable, honest people from the body must be put in place to handle that so that, and I've said it over and over, if there's any reason to do any investigating, I must be one of the investigators, not one of the investigated. All right? So when you're calling up the committee, you can't say, Pastor, come sit on the committee and help us investigate. You don't have to say, Pastor, we're coming to investigate you. And then the people who are actually handling the money put situations in place, guidelines and things in place, so you protect them. So nobody has any questions. Sit there, three people signed off on this. Sit there, we have accounts so that you are protecting people. And let me say this. This is practical, but it is spiritual. And anybody who tell you, send your money, come give us, but we're not going to tell you how you spend it. Don't give God's money to them. There ought to be accountability. And you ought to see to it. And some of you must come business meeting so you know what is going on. And you know, because some of you afterwards go out and make some statements because you're not here to ask the questions and get the answers. If you're not a member, that is all right. You don't need to come to the business meeting, but I'm telling the members so they know. And let me just rush on very, very quickly and just tell you that real giving is extremely beneficial. In chapter 9, there are some fantastic principles. In verse 6, the Bible says, no, there are some conditions. When you're giving, it says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, this is not rocket science. This is not a very difficult principle to understand. If you go out to your field and you plant one grain of corn, you better pray that ants don't eat the one grain. But if it grows up, you probably get a couple of one or two or three ears of corn at the most. But if you go out and you plant half dozen or you plant 100 seeds of corn, when harvest time comes, you can expect a great harvest of corn. Now, if that is so clear and simple and straightforward, how come when it comes to giving, we can't understand it? That if you sow sparingly, and I don't want you to take this out of context, you know, because I'm not here asking you for any seed money. Because I think sometimes people take these things and bend them out of context. What I'm saying to you, God says when you give to him, if you give generously, he will bless you generously. But if you're somebody kind of stingy, God will bless you kind of stingy too. And some of us don't understand that, you know. We hold on to things so tight. And you better hold on to them tight because you're going to continue to be small so you can hold it tight in your hand. When things get so big, you lose your hand, you can't hold it tight because it's too big. You just have to open your hand like this because it's just so big. When you hold it tight, it's small enough to be held tight, man. He that giveth sparingly shall... This is God's word. And I'm praying that God will get us to the place where we can give generously. But not only that, because I have to hurry. You don't only give generously. God says you must give cheerfully. And I love to talk about that. Verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I tell you a secret. Really, okay? You see, if you come here on any day and you don't feel like you can put your offering in the offering plate, it is all right. Take it right back home. And I mean that. God says, when you come to give, don't give out of necessity. Don't feel like somebody's training you. You know, we encourage you to give to God, but we are never going to pressure you to give to God. Giving must not be because you are pressured. Because anybody twisted your arm. Giving must be done out of a heart of gratitude to God and excitement to give to God because God has been good to you. And beloved, when you come, the Bible says if you have to be grudging, you know, grudging is kind of, you do it, but you don't really want to do it. And some of you almost have to shake it out of your hand for it to drop. That's not a way to give to God. If you have to shake it out of your hand, keep it till you can let it go. Joyfully. The Bible says, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God loves somebody who can give out of a heart of joy. And I challenge you to do that. No, here's where it's interesting, because I think this is where some people short circuit the thing again. In verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Here's what the Bible says. When you give to God, God is able to turn around and supply all your needs. But some of us stop right there because here's what we think. I gave to God. God has blessed me. So now I can't just sit down and spend this blessing on myself. But you get it wrong. God says it ought to be a cycle. You had a little and you gave it. I have given you more. So guess what? Give more. And as you give more, guess what God does? Gives you more. And there are some people who have seen that in their lives. They have been giving and giving, and God has given them so much more. And sometimes they give away so much that you say they must go and impoverish themselves now. But you know what God says? There is that scattereth and yet is made rich. That's Proverbs. And there is that withholdeth more than its meat and it tendeth to poverty. Because God says, when I give you, and you, as I give you, you continue to give. And I will see to it that you always have for your own needs. And you can always give to somebody. Beloved, you know, sometimes you might be at home and you have two slices of bread. You know, somebody don't have any. You can send a slice over. And tomorrow God give you a loaf of bread. You cut it in half and send over the other half. Because God is able to meet your needs. And as God meets your needs, you ought to be consistent. And you know what God says? No, look at the benefits of giving to the Lord. And I just want to share this very quickly. You know, let me just share this with you very quickly. Verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. So you see that? When you give, you supply the needs of some others. That's one benefit. You have to meet somebody else's need. Fantastic. Here's somebody who's over here struggling, and you're able to meet his need. And when you meet his need, guess what happens? God is glorified. But it's abundant also by many thanksgivings. Think about it. Can you imagine you're there struggling one day? You don't even know where you're going to get breakfast from. And one of your Christian brothers and sisters come over and put something in your hand. Some of you don't start jump up and say, hallelujah, glory to God. You get it, you know, and you're happy that your need is met. But you understand that God has sent it and you glorify God. And beloved, you have the opportunity to give people a chance to glorify God. To be generous to them, to the place where they can turn around and they can say, to God be the glory, because God has provided. Why is the experiment of this ministration? They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. They praise God for what you're doing. And but let's get this, because it's a third benefit. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you. So you end up, when you give, you satisfy somebody's need. You cause glory to be given to God, and you stimulate prayer for your behalf. And there are some of you, God continues to bless you because there are some people praying for you. Say, God, thank you for brother so-and-so. Thank you for sister so-and-so. He has been kind to me. She has been kind to me. God continues. You know, sometimes we say, God bless the hand. You ever pray that? Lord, thank you for this and bless the hand. What we are saying, God, because this person is so kind, continue to bless. And there are some of you that dozens, maybe even hundreds of people are praying for you. And you can't understand how come you're being so blessed. Because you're not even praying for it yourself. But you know why? There are some people praying for you. And God says, when you give, you meet needs, you glorify God, you stimulate prayer. So beloved, what is it that is stopping you from giving to God? You have a responsibility and a privilege to give to God. So out of this, can I just give you the 10 commandments of giving as we wrap up? No, listen. The 10 commandments of giving. Thou shalt not let trials nor poverty prevent thee from giving. It's commandment number one. Number two, thou shalt give beyond thy means. Number three, thou shalt give willingly. Number four, thou shalt give thyself before thou givest thy money. Number five, thou shalt seek to abound in giving as in any other spiritual gift. Number six, thou shalt let Christ's generosity be thy motivation. Number seven, thou shalt not worry about what thou dost not have. So you don't have to give what you don't have. Commandment number eight, thou shalt expect accountability for thy giving. Commandment number nine, thou shalt not give sparingly. Commandment number 10, thou shalt give cheerfully. Listen, if you practice those principles, God will bless you as you give. God will bless others, and God's name will be glorified. Beloved, I don't know how else to say it to you. We're not trying to pressure you and squeeze money out of you. In fact, I'm being very honest with you. If that is how you see it, don't put a cent to anything here. But when you begin to understand that you have a relationship to God, that God loves you, and that God has generously given to you, and the opportunity to give is a privilege, then when you understand that, give to God. But can I say something else? Before you put a cent in here, give yourself to God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, it is more important to us that your life be given to God than that you put a dollar on the offering plate here. Beloved, I wouldn't want your money and see your soul go to hell. I would rather see God save your soul. And some of you, God probably calling you for ministry, but you rather send your money. It doesn't work. Give yourself to God and then let God have his way in your life and in your checking account. Shall we pray? We thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you for your word, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to understand the privilege it is to give. And Lord, I pray that we would give of ourselves and of our substance joyfully and willingly to you. Beloved, I want the heads to be bowed and the eyes closed. And I need to just ask you something. I need you to be really honest with me. Honest before God. All right, in the first place, let me ask you. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you given yourself to the Lord yet? If you haven't, but you're here today and God spoke to you and you'd like to trust Him as your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand where you are? It will be indicating to me that, Pastor, I want to give myself to the Lord. I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, but I'd like to trust the Lord because I understand that God is first of all interested in me before He's interested in my money. And I'd like to give myself to Him. Is there one here like that? Would you raise your hand where you are and take it down? I'll see it. I'll include you in prayer. Pastor, God spoke to me. I'd like to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. All right, maybe you're here, friend, and you're a Christian. But in all honesty, you know you have not given yourself to the Lord. You struggle with the Lord. Your life is not surrendered to God. You want to do your own thing, but God challenged your heart this morning. And God said, you're having such a struggle, even in your giving, even in your living, because you're not surrendered to me. And you're saying, Pastor, by God's grace, I want to just place my life before the Lord. I'm a child of God, but I want to yield myself completely to the Lord. I'd like to pray for you, pray with you. Would you just raise your hand where you are, take it down. God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Child of God, God has spoken to you. You're saying, I'm yielding myself to the Lord. Now this one gets a little more difficult. I wonder if you're here and you're going to be honest and you say, Pastor, God spoke to me about giving this morning. I've had a struggle. I'm one of those persons who find it hard to give to God, but I'm asking the Lord to help me to be a generous, joyful giver. I'm asking God to melt my heart. I'm asking God to remove the fear, the selfishness, and I'm asking God to help me to give. And Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I'd love to pray for you. Would you be honest? Just slip your hand up, take it down. I'll include you in prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, if you don't have whatever, don't worry about what you don't have. God says it's what you have. You're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to have the kind of heart that I'll be more generous as I give to the Lord. Is there one more like that? God spoke to you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father in heaven, we ask you to lead us as we seek to do your will. And we thank you for those you have spoken to. And Lord, this grace of giving is so important and sometimes it's such a struggle for many of us. But I pray that you'd stir up our hearts, that we'd be willing to give of ourselves and of our substance. So thank you for these who have raised your hands. And I pray that you would cement the commitment they are making. And Lord, I pray for others who need to do business with you, that you would convict their hearts and bring them to the place where they will yield to you, and we will thank you for what you do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart, produced by SheepGazette.com.